I lay my sins on Jesus, 606. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Our focus today will be on the epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 9. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't know somebody's name, go ahead and ask. In Jesus, we're one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for this special season where we can reflect not only upon our deep, innate sinfulness, but upon Your great love, which prompted You to send Your Son, Jesus, to live, to die, to rise, to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Teach us today to live and to enjoy life in the blood of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 606.
Order of Matins, page 219, we stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We
chant together the introit as found on your bulletin insert.
Oh,
seated for our office hymn offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father!" And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God.
Washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Through Christ's blood I have His victory. The precious blood. blood of Christ, Jesus' sacrifice, saved my life. Through Christ's blood, we have the victory. Oh, what a sacrifice, saved my life. Through Christ's blood, we have the victory. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, Jesus washed it white as
Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls, and with the ashes of a heifer, sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of St. John, the 8th. Chapter. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I do not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
In peace, love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading we heard just a moment ago from Hebrews 9, especially verse 13. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purifying our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't have to read much of the Bible to realize that it is a very bloody book. It's one of the things that people are offended at as they read God's Word, as they read the Bible. No punches are pulled with regard to wars and rumors of war, contending and battling for the faith. Even Goliath getting his head chopped off by the little shepherd boy David. There is blood everywhere. There is a great amount of blood in the worship that God teaches us in the Bible. Old Testament worship was not for the squeamish. I can't imagine how difficult it must have been to get volunteers for the altar guild. Blood everywhere. Pigeons, sheep, goats, lambs, bulls. You ever been at a slaughterhouse? You know how much blood there is when you butcher a bull? Troughs were designed for for all the blood that would flow. But this was more than something symbolic. God was forgiving sins and teaching people all at the same time. Two great truths. First of all, there is life in the blood. All those prohibitions about eating meat with blood in it was to teach that the life is in the blood. But the bloody worship, the bloody sacrifices, this was to teach something more. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That passage is just a few verses farther on in Hebrews chapter 9. And it's a quote from the book of Leviticus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so, blood was shed. All of these Old Testament sacrifices. And then, on certain times of the year, this blood was not only shed, but this blood was sprinkled. It was sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. And are you ready for this? It was sprinkled on the people of God. The blood shed for sin, the blood which contained life, was sprinkled on the people of God. It's a good thing we've cleaned up our act, right? Worship is much more sanitary. Worship is much more sterile. Worship is much more civilized, right? Worship was a very serious thing. The priest, before he could offer sacrifices, the priest, a sinner himself, had to become ceremonially clean. Hand washing, special garments, and then this blood had to be sprinkled on him. He had to be made clean, pure, holy, forgiven before he could offer the blood sacrifices for the people of God. Once a year, there was the great sacrifice, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would enter into the place where no man would dare to go, into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. How serious was the worship? The high priest would have a rope tied around his leg. Why? Well, in case the high priest did something dumb, foolish, blasphemous, or offensive to God, and God would strike him dead, the other people could drag out his dead corpse. So they didn't have to go inside this most holy place. So holy. So special, so sacred, going before the very face of God. My friends, as forgiving, as cleansing, and as teaching as these sacrifices were, they were never enough. They were never complete. Day after day, week after week, more sacrifices, more animals, more blood. You see, all of these sacrifices pointed forward to the time when there would be the ultimate sacrifice, the mother of all sacrifices, the once and for all sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, the Savior, the Messiah's blood would be different. It wouldn't be tainted with sin like our blood and like a human priest. It wouldn't be less than sufficient like the blood of bulls and sheep and goats and pigeons and doves. No, the Messiah's blood would be perfect, would be holy. And that blood would really have life. That blood would really forgive. So, what does God do? God sends His Son, King of kings, Lord of lords, the eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity. But wrapped in flesh and blood. That's why we celebrate Christmas, the incarnation, God in the flesh for us. Real flesh, real blood, born of a virgin for us. His blood is different, not tainted by sin. His blood is holy. His blood is perfect. Jesus, God in the flesh, with His holy flesh and blood, lives up to His name and to His calling. Unlike us, Jesus places Himself under God's holy law. And He doesn't sin. Not once. Not ever. Even though He is tempted in every way, shape, and form that you and I are tempted, Jesus doesn't sin. The Holy One, the perfect One, doesn't have to die, right? The soul that sins, so shall he die. Jesus lives this perfect life with His holy, innocent, precious blood pumping in His veins. But that's not enough, is it? It's not enough for Jesus to live a holy, perfect, sinful life. It's not enough for Jesus to give us a marvelous example of how we should live a holy and perfect life. My friends, there is life in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. As long as the holy, innocent, perfect blood of Jesus stays inside of Jesus, it does you no good. So, a lamb, a spotless lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, goes uncomplaining forth. He freely, willingly offers His blood for our forgiveness. Jesus, our great High Priest, enters into the most holy place. He doesn't need to be purified. He doesn't need to be cleaned. He is pure. He is clean. He is the spotless Son of God, come from heaven to earth for us. He offers Himself both priest and sacrifice. He offers Himself and His blood for you, for me, and for the life of the world. In the blood there is life. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus, bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross, bleeding from His hands and His feet, bleeding from His face where they ripped out His beard, bleeding from His head where the crown of thorns is placed on side of Him, shedding His holy, precious, innocent blood for you and me. My friends, there's life in the blood. And as Jesus poured out His lifeblood, He poured out His life. The stone, cold, lifeless body of Jesus is placed into a tomb. Under normal circumstances, that would be the end of the story. Bring a wreath on Memorial Day. But that's not the end of the story. My friends, nothing could contain the spotless Son of God. Not sin, not Satan, not death. Jesus, who is now alive on that first Easter that we look forward to now with such great anticipation. Jesus, full of life. Jesus, blood pumping in His veins. Jesus is alive for you and me and the life of the world. And He freely, freely gives His life-giving blood to you and me. Good Friday and Easter, the blood of Jesus are delivered to you in the baptismal font. Seems crazy, doesn't it? Little bit of water, little bit of word. It is the power of God unto salvation, where the blood of Jesus covers you, regenerates you, gives you life. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. In God's gift of holy baptism. My friends, every time you read, sing, hear, or believe the forgiveness of sins that can come only from Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you, you are literally bathed in the blood of Jesus that gives you peace, gives you life, gives you comfort, and gives you hope. And as a lasting memorial and ongoing strengthening meal for this difficult journey we call life, God feeds us with the body and blood of His Son. Life-giving, life-changing blood of Jesus, in with and under bread and wine. My friends, how easy it is to turn our worship into a game or a plaything, rather than to focus on the blood, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How strong is the temptation to clean up God's Word, to make it more sanitary, to make it more civilized, to remove anything that might offend, like a cross and blood and sin and death. And in so doing, remove Christ. My friends, there is life in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. A bloodless Christianity is a worthless Christianity. And it's an amazing thing about Christianity, isn't it? While there are so many world religions out there that focus on shedding the blood of their enemies, the blood of Jesus Christ, our friend, is shed for us and for our enemies and for the life of the world. My friends, there is life in the blood of Jesus. And now, having been given this new life in Jesus Christ, God calls us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We've already died and been raised to life in the waters of holy baptism. And now we can live our life in joyful service to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. My friends, there's life in the blood. And the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. You're free. Live. Love. Celebrate the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our faith in the life-giving, life-changing blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once again, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we break forth in song. Continue now with the canticle, the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as you're able.
Thank you.
ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the blood of Jesus would give you peace, hope, comfort through the forgiveness of sins. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Summon from this veil of tears the soul of Wally Krueger. Wally, a longtime member here at Good Shepherd, been a shut-in for the last couple of years. Wally went to his eternal rest on Friday morning, and the funeral service for Wally will be Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock here at Good Shepherd. We keep Wally's family, especially Kathy and Gary, his children, in our thoughts and prayers. And we rejoice that, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, Wally is now singing praises before the throne of God. Our service continues with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand.
Mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Oh. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Dear Father, we are cast down and disquieted, for our sins, our race is justly judged. Yet you have provided for us a lamb, even your own Son, whose shed blood covers all of our sins. Vindicate us, O Lord, for the sake of his cross and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, your beloved Son said that whoever keeps his word will never taste death. Bless all ministers of the word, especially Pastor Harrison, our synodical president, Pastor Snow, our district president, and all pastors. Guard them from false doctrine and immoral lives. Help us to rightly understand and truly take to heart your holy word. Lord, in your mercy, pour out your Spirit on your church in every place. Bring unity where there is discord. Be with all Christians facing persecution. Strengthen the bonds of faith and love between us and our sister churches throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, dear Father, we confess our family life is not as you designed it to be. Strengthen husbands and wives in fidelity and charity. Grant those to whom you have entrusted children patience and wisdom. Guard the children of our parish from the attacks of the evil one and the seductions of the world. Work reconciliation among family members who are estranged. Lord, in your mercy, remember all who are in authority in our nation, state, and city. Protect those who serve our community, especially those who risk danger on our behalf. Lord, in your mercy, sustain all who endure trials, the sick, the homebound, those recovering from surgery, and all who mourn, especially Beth, Marge, Lynn, Nolan, Bob and Mona, Carmen, Sam, Marlene, Steve, Celeste, Nancy, Diane, Chip, Janice, Disney, Max, Joanne, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Nick, Vicky, Zoe, Jocelyn, Chuck, Todd, Susan, Jan, Callie, David, and Don Wheezy, who was hospitalized and released this week. And also we give a prayer of thanksgiving for Lori Sidlow, who received good test results this week. And finally, for all who mourn, especially the family of Wally Krueger, taken to yourself this Friday morning. Lord, in your mercy, at his invitation, finally, dear Father, be with us this Passion Tide. Put to death in us everything that is evil, and bring us with joy to celebrate the Paschal mystery of the Son whom you gave, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, forever and ever. Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. for our closing hymn, number 438. 438.
Thank you.
our Lord and Savior Jesus. All invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Two opportunities for Bible study today. We'll continue our look at Ecclesiastes. Wrong book, wrong testament there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And summary of Christian doctrine class is in room 109. Room 109. Sunday school opening in here in about 10 minutes or so. A lot of stuff going on this week and in the days and weeks ahead. Tuesday morning, funeral service for Wally Krueger. Wednesday will be the last of our midweek Lenten services. Worship at 12:15 and 6:30. Fellowship meal at 5 o'clock. And, usually attendance kind of tails off on these Wednesdays as we get closer to Easter. However, this Wednesday, the Boy Scouts are cooking. I don't know what they're cooking, but it's always good. So, last meal will be a great one, I'm sure. Wednesday, serving at 5 to 6:15. We're back on with midweek and confirmation class again, and a very, very important meeting for 8th graders and their parents as we prepare for questioning and confirmation. Next Saturday, very, very busy day as well. Easter egg hunt at 10 o'clock. Cleanup day here at the church at 11 o'clock. So plan your activities around church next Saturday if you can. And then next Sunday, Palm Sunday, bring the little kids a little bit early so they can participate in the Palm Sunday procession with palms. Josh, Christian, Kristen, where are you? I don't know where she's at. There you go. Great job today. Great job. Pastor, anything else? All right. I pray that Vicar got up. Oh, sign-up tables out there. That was on my list. Sign-up tables out there. Easter breakfast, Easter lilies. Easter breakfast, Easter lilies. Help us out with that. I think that's all. Please join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall, study of God's Word. Have a great day and week and Lent and life in the blood of Jesus.